Live from CAP Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. It has been an unprecedented year at CAP Radio and one of extreme hardship. This summer, CAP Radio laid off 12% of its staff, including at North State Public Radio, which CAP Radio operates, and the cuts included four longtime music programs as well as their hosts. And that was just the start of tremendous financial challenges that were brought to light. CAP Radio is an auxiliary of Sac State, which holds our license, and the university has always been responsible for CAP Radio's oversight. An audit by the California State University System detailed significant mismanagement in recent years by leaders who are no longer employed at CAP Radio. That is largely tied to an ambitious years-long move to a new downtown headquarters and creation of a live venue, both of which now have an uncertain future as CAP Radio's news and music stations still operate here on campus. During this time, myself and a group of CAP Radio colleagues have reported on our employer independently. And in following with NPR's protocol of reporting on itself, no CAP Radio corporate official or news executive reviewed our story before it was broadcasted or posted publicly. As we close 2023, we've invited CAP Radio Interim General Manager Tom Carlo to join us with an update on where things stand and CAP Radio's outlook for the new year. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, Vicky.
So I want to start with really this grave warning that Sac State President Luke Wood delivered in a video release following that CSU audit back in September.
Our internal analysis of their budget indicates that CAP Radio will likely have no remaining financial resources by January.
So given that we're roughly 2 weeks to January, where does that risk of insolvency stand today?
Well, we just have had a budget meeting with the president that we had the just yesterday, and we were discussing that. And I'd like to preface it by saying when I came on board and I came out of retirement and I started on August 15th, I immediately put my mindset on keeping the programming of the two radio stations going as solid as we can, improving revenue opportunities, and trying to be honest and transparent with everyone. And over the last 4 months, because it's been 4 months that I started, we have seen an impact in revenue. And I feel right now we can get through the month of May. And so each month we seem to be kicking it down a little further. And I'm proud of what the team has done. We've seen an uptick in membership, corporate support, and major giving and car donation program. And the community has really helped to respond for us. So we're doing our best to keep us going alive and well. And we still have a heartbeat and we're still serving the community. And I think the work that we're doing on our news and information station and KXPR, our classical and jazz station, are as good as ever.
Yeah, I mean, and going along that, earlier this week, a press release from CAP Radio, you know, talked about that, celebrated a rating spike, resilient membership support, mm-hmm. saying, quote, despite financial challenges, listenership and membership is increasing. How is that being measured? What are you basing that on?
Well, first of all, on the membership, it's the amount of people that are, you know, calling and everything. And we've been very sensitive of our message points, and we wanted to be honest with everyone. And we had a September drive. Just a couple of weeks after the layoffs that we had, and we had a goal of 2,500 donations, and we had 5,000 donations.
So double.
And we had a goal of around 500,000, and we hit 1.2 million. And we've had 1,200 new members join CAP Radio, and we've had over 7,000 existing members increase their membership. And really, there's a lot of people that they want answers. They want to know what's going on. They're angry at how we got here. And I'm happy to say I wasn't here when it all went down. I'm trying to help. I'm trying to move us forward. But there are so many people that say, we can't lose CAP Radio. We can't let it go. It is so important for us. And our news and information is vitally important to not only the Sacramento community, but Stockton, Modesto, Chico, Humboldt, Redding. I mean, we serve a real big part of the state, including the Reno-Tahoe area. And our information and news, I think, is second to none. And so you know, the community is responding.
Given that, and we've heard this for many fund drives, that Cap Radio is primarily funded through listener support. If you're one of those new members or someone who upped their donations during this really difficult time, what is their money going towards? Is it just going to pay off the debt, or will it also benefit the news and programs, maybe even by extension, the staff who've been riding out a difficult time?
Yeah, right now, you know, our operating budget is actually much smaller than we anticipated. We anticipated some grants that have not come through from either the state of California, the federal government, and it has hurt us. So we've had to reduce our expenses. But everyone's membership is really going to the programming and the content. And I'm pleased to say, even though we laid off 12% of our staff, we've also had a lot of people that through attrition have moved on, and our staff has gone from around 103, I believe it was when I arrived on August 15th, to about 75 right now. We didn't touch the news team. We didn't touch the key components of KXPR, a classical station, in terms of the host and the jazz show and the and classical music. And in fact, we only added one position during this time that was a new position. And you know where that was, Vicky? It was on your team. We added a producer to Insight, because Insight is really our franchise show right now. And I say that as a compliment to you and your team. You do an excellent job of news analysis. And so we cut a lot of backroom stuff. We cut a lot of assistance. I have to do my own administrative assistance, which I'm happy to do, because people don't support us because of administration or management. They support us because of the content and the programming. And that is pretty much intact right now.
Given that Cap Radio has openly, publicly acknowledged, I mean, you even said it just a minute or two ago, like a need to restore trust. If you're a listener or reader or member who is skeptical of donating, maintaining their donation or increasing it, given the mismanagement and lack of oversight that has all come to light, what do you say to them?
Well, I say, first of all, I don't blame them for feeling that way. I think it's tragic what has been out in the news and what has happened to Cap Radio and where we are right now. And the reason why I came out of retirement after being retired for 2.5 years is, to me, Cap Radio was an incredible brand, and I wanted to make sure that Cap Radio didn't fold and still had a chance to be a valuable resource to our community during the 2024 election year, because people need to be informed leading up to the primaries and the general election. So I want to tell people that we are trying our best, but winning back trust takes time. I can't do it overnight, and we're doing it incrementally. And you asked me earlier about measurements and everything. We subscribe to the Nielsen ratings, and the Nielsen ratings have shown a tremendous spike in the time spent listening, in terms of the average quarter listenership, the audience gain of our primary audience, and our overall cumulative audience over a week. So people are coming back, but I know it'll take time. And I think the best thing for us to do is to continue and improve and do as good a work as we can. And I hope that trust will come back. But I also want to say that Sacramento State and Cap Radio, I almost said my former call letters, caught myself, are really doing our best to lead the team in a very difficult time. I mean, we are a much smaller organization, but we're still doing our best to deliver the best content we can.
You mentioned that we now have enough financial reserves to carry us through at least May. Realistically, are more layoffs a possibility, more cuts to programming?
Well, I hope not, but, you know, we're close to December 31st, which is just a couple of weeks away, and that is the mid-year of our fiscal year, which runs from July 1st to June 30th. And myself, and along with the financial people at Sacramento State, who have taken over our accounting to make sure that we are following every policy and procedure and rules and regulations, we have to do a deep dive the second week of January to, in fact, see where we are, see how we're doing at this midpoint. And, you know, I think we're doing well, but we've lost some revenue. We are not going to receive our $1 million federal support from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting because it's based on an audit 2 years ago. And that audit was the one that was referenced in the Chancellor's Office examination audit, and it wasn't correct. And so I don't blame the corporation for holding off. So there's a big chunk there. You know, we had a couple of grants in that we were counting on from political politicians, and they have been put on pause, and that's taken a hit on us. So we have to readjust with our revenue projections. Are not going to be met that we started the year off on.
Yeah, and part of this is also North State Public Radio, NSPR.
Yes.
They're based in Chico. Cap Radio operates NSPR. Chico State holds the license to NSPR. How have the past 4 months been at this station?
Well, we work very closely with them, obviously, because we do a lot with them. We operate a lot of their back room and their accounting and stuff. Their general manager, Phil Wilkie, and I speak almost daily. I know their team of programming, Sarah Bohannon, works with our programming team constantly. And, you know, they're doing about as well as they can do. And they're serving what I think is possibly a news desert. What I mean by that, without NSPR serving Chico and operating the Humboldt station, I'm not sure those communities would have any quality journalism coming into their area. So we've got to keep it as vibrant as we can.
At the crux of all of this, a large part was this ambitious move to downtown. Two different buildings, a new headquarters, as well as a live venue. We are still talking on the Sac mm-hmm. State campus. We have not moved. What is the status of this move?
Well, it's a very fluid situation. First of all, and I'll be very honest, I'm not sure we're ready to move down there because once we move down there, we have a sharp increase in our operating expenses, janitorial, security, parking, utilities that we are not paying right now. The leases are being paid, but it's something that I think we need some more stability in our income here. And so we are staying here to tighten our belt. And so it is fluid. I cannot give you exactly what's going to happen down the line, but I can tell you we're discussing it very much with both the president and myself. And as we move forward, we're hoping to repopulate our governing board of directors. And that'll be something we all work on together. But I don't have an answer for that right now.
When you're talking about, you know, having discussions with Sac State and the leadership there, is it on the table that it may not actually happen and we'll just stay here?
Well, I would say that we've discussed every conceivable option of what is the best thing to, in the best interest of Cap Radio and serving the people not only of the Sacramento area, but the coverage area that we have all through Northern California.
Yeah, and given that we're an auxiliary of Sac State, and you mentioned the board of directors, you know, we're allowed to have a board of directors for the nonprofit. That board since disbanded, the majority of whom have resigned. And the university, as you mentioned, is currently working on a replacement. Where does a new Cap Radio board stand today?
Well, you know, I've distanced myself a little bit from exactly what President Wood and his team are doing, because I don't think it's good board policy for the general manager or the president of a nonprofit organization to be orchestrating how to bring in what new members you bring in and everything, because basically I'd be putting in the members that of the board that would be my boss. So President Wood is taking care of that. We do currently, I think, have 7 board members out of around 25 that were on before.
Are they mostly with the university?
There are 2 public members that stayed on, and there are myself, Natalie, who is the student body president.
The ASI president,
the
yes.
ASI president. She is a board member, and Terrence Lau, who is the provost of Chico State, he's a board member. Luke is on it, and Jonathan Bowman, the CFO of the university, and we have 2 public members on. And, you know, their idea is to repopulate the board so we can – there are decisions that we need board approval to do. Mm. So the day-to-day operation we're going along is the best we can.
Yeah, I think one of the biggest changes that people are probably understanding is that given that we're in auxiliary, Cap Radio had this financial independence that clearly has been compromised following the audit from the CSU system. And now Sac State is taking this larger role in managing and approving Cap Radio's finances. Given these challenges and really this heightened oversight that Sac State has been taking this year, is there any chance that we could be fully absorbed by the university?
Yeah, we could be. We could be. But I do think the situation we have as having a 501c3 auxiliary of Sacramento State and the state of California is something I hope we preserve. I mean, having the community have members that represent the community to help us with our strategic planning, our vision, where we're going, accountability, all of those things I think are much better if they stay as an auxiliary versus just going into the larger part of the university. So, but, you know, that is a possibility. My former stations in San Diego, KPBS, that was licensed to San Diego State University, we were not an auxiliary. We were a department of the university. And, you know, I think either way works, but we already have the auxiliary. So it's not the auxiliary that was the problem. It was some decisions that were made. And I think if the community wants to, I think getting the community involved will really help us as we move forward with Cap Radio.
Given that you're an interim general manager, and as you mentioned, you were brought on August 15th. That was roughly 2 weeks before the layoffs. President Luke Wood also inherited these challenges as well. He took the position in July. How long will you be at Cap Radio? And is there currently an active search for a permanent general manager?
Well, that decision is still going on too. I think it's safe to say that, yeah, I mean, I'm under no contract, so I mean, I'm at will and I'm fine with that. But the latest is I think I'm going to stay hopefully through May, into May, and then I think it's important for, you know, it'll be up to President Wood and hopefully a new reconstituted board to make a decision on moving forward.
But, so the board needs to come first, and in tandem with
right.
The Sac State president, they will choose the new
GM. Yeah, and they'll decide on a process. And, you know, there could be an interim named from the staff, or it could be, you know, a full-blown search. That's not my decision to make. But I will say that, you know, I'm not long term. You know, like I said, I came out to help, but not to be the permanent one long mm-hmm. range. But I'm also hoping that by my work with the team and people like you and everything, that we can reach some stability and then hand it off to someone who can really take it forward. Mm-hmm. And so that's my goal, is to bring stability and a level playing field for us to begin to rebuild and to continue to deliver great programming and rebuild the trust of the community.
We only have a couple of minutes left, but I want to get to some changes that are happening to programming here at Cap Radio. I've already announced it earlier this week. I mean, we're obviously going to communicate it a lot more to people,
yeah.
But there is a programming change to Insight. Come the new year, we are going to move to the noon hour. Can you explain why this change was made?
Well, I'm so excited about that. I think we're going to start on Tuesday, January 16th, which is the day after Martin Luther King Day. And, you know, when you look at the way people consume radio, you know, the biggest audiences are right in the drive times with what we have with Morning Edition and All Things Considered. And we mix in our local content and everything. But at 9 o'clock, you know, people start to go to work and they start to turn off the news and everything. But there is a spike of people who listen to radio on their lunch hour. They're out doing errands, they're out moving around, and all that. So the audience increases. And for me, it was a matter of, is why don't we put our signature local show, Insight, hosted by you, at a time of day when more people will be able to listen to it. And the other thing is, too, is right now when you're on at 9 o'clock, there could be breaking stories that are press conferences or whatever that are taking place at 9:30 or 10, and we don't talk about it till tomorrow. So I think we can be more timely with our news analysis of issues that are affecting at noon. And I think we can do a better job of getting guests here around the noon hour rather than break up their work day. So all of that means is, you know, we're investing more into making sure that that Insight and your work here, Vicky, and your team will be able to even reach more people. So I'm very excited about that. And the other big announcement we are doing, which we're doing right now, is we used to do our local news with Steve Milne in the morning and Devin Yamanaka in the afternoon, just during a morning edition and All Things Considered. But now we're doing news headlines local all day long. So you'll hear Andrew Garcia during the day. And so this is an expansion. So even though we've had all of these troubling issues that have affected us, we are increasing programming for all of everyone because we want to make sure everyone is as well informed as possible. So I'm very excited about the change.
We only have 30 seconds left, and this is the last question. And I know your job has always been looking forward, but there's still a lot of interest in understanding how all of this actually happened. Do you anticipate another audit, some type of forensic analysis, sometime soon, perhaps in January?
Well, there is a forensic audit that is being taken place. I have really nothing to do with it. It's being led by the Chancellor's office of the CSU system, and my understanding is hopefully we'll get something in either January or February, and I have no idea what's going to happen, but it's supposed to be a deeper dive into looking at what happened, and I think that's good for us because then we'll make sure it never happens again.
Tom, thank you.
Thank you, Vicky.
That is Cap Radio Interim General Manager Tom Carlo. You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, Cap Radio. I'm Vicky Gonzalez.